Tonight. It's just good to see everybody. Appreciate the song service this evening, Mike. That's you always do such a nice job. I always appreciate the songs that you select and the ability that you have. Certainly appreciate the prayer as well this evening. It just I always like it when Dale says a prayer. He honors God as he begins his prayer and as he goes through it. And I think that's something that is an excellent example for all of us. We're very fortunate here, aren't we? I was just thinking we nearly had a good preacher tonight. I thought I had a sale made, but when I started offering Jamie my tie, he decided to back out. So we'll just enjoy him at the Valentine's party this evening. Appreciated Mike's lesson on Wednesday night. It was a very thoughtful lesson and one that was good. We'll try and involve all the men more and more in our lessons. Y'all have so much to say, and it's always so refreshing to hear the different perspectives. So we're very blessed. And you ladies, I'll tell you, I've often thought that the church does not work. It doesn't without our ladies. And you do so many things so often quietly behind the scenes. And so they're just, we're very blessed here. And keep up the good work. We're going to talk about Deuteronomy for just a little bit this evening. I realize that we have a fun fellowship lined up, and we look forward to that. But I wanted to talk just a little bit about, we're going to be in Deuteronomy in just a moment, but I want to start in Hebrews. And I wanted to just kind of springboard off of some of the lessons that Tim has been bringing on Sunday morning. If you haven't had the chance to come, make the chance. You'll be blessed for coming. It has been informative and very thought-provoking, but in a lot of ways, we've been looking at the unchanging nature of God. The fact that even though we had different specific commandments, especially concerning the covenant from the circumcision of the old law to the circumcision of the heart, which is baptism of the new law, there are differences there. But as far as the character of God, and as far as the things that He considered sinful from the very beginning until now, that really hasn't changed. And there's a reason for that. Hebrews chapter 6 is a great place to point that out. I mentioned this morning, one of the things I have a hard time with as a preacher, especially having been here for so long, is the balance between talking about the first principles, things such as becoming a Christian and the way we worship and the church. Things that we need to talk about from time to time, and yet we also need to move on to other things. And the writer of Hebrews, through inspiration, talks about that in verse 1 of Hebrews 6. He says, let us therefore leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of instruction about washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it's impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who've tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they're crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and are holding Him up to contempt. Well, there's a lot there, but the primary thing is this. Once you have taken care of the elementary things, it's not enough now to rest upon what you've done. Now it's time to mature and to grow and to be reaching out to seek and save the lost, to be increasing your knowledge on the things that God wants. He's not saying that we no longer talk about repentance and faith and baptism and the resurrection and eternity. He's not saying that at all. But he's saying there comes a point where we ought to know about these things. And so again, while we talk about about them a lot during the time that we give our lessons. We also need to be looking at the things that lead to maturity. One of the things that I think is so important for us to understand is the fact that God has not changed. God has always been holy, and He's always demanded His people to be holy. Not just pretty good, but holy. And we can't do that on our own. They found that out in the Old Testament. In many ways, the Old Testament was grade school. It was a school teacher trying to teach the people that when you sin, there has to be the shedding of blood, but also that the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats can never truly cleanse you from the sin. And so it introduced us to the need for a Messiah who shed His pure blood once and for all. And so we start maturing. But we look at the fact that God is still the same. Sin is still pretty much the same. We don't lie. We don't murder. We don't commit acts of immorality. Just all these things that God has had from the very beginning are still true today. Obviously, different parts of the old law as compared to the law that gives freedom are different, but the principles are pretty much the same because of the nature of God. So verse 13 of chapter 6, when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise, for people swear by something greater than themselves and in all their disputes, an oath is the final for confirmation. So, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath. Several things there, but first, think about the promise. What did He promise Abraham? That through him all nations would be blessed, through his offspring, through his seed. Where did we see that first? Well, it was in Genesis. If you hold on to your place in Hebrews chapter 6, in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 14, right after he talked to the man about his sin, and then he talked to the woman about her sin, the Lord said to the serpent, Genesis 3:14, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field." We don't know what animal that Satan inhabited. Think he probably had feet, but he didn't afterwards. There was a penalty, even though it was Satan who inhabited him. We find that out in Revelation, don't we? That ancient serpent was Satan. But the serpent itself received a curse. The physical, "On your belly you shall go, the dust you shall eat all the days of your life." And now look at this curse between for Satan specifically. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring," the Hebrew here is seed, "and her offspring." The Hebrew here is seed, "and her offspring," it's singular. It's talking about Christ. The New Testament even clarifies that more. "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." At the very beginning, we were told that there would be one who would come and conquer Satan. It would be from the offspring or the seed of the woman. This promise continued down through Abraham. We just read a little bit about that in Hebrews chapter 6. But now I want to look at this part. Verse 17, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose. God's purpose has never changed. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, it talks about the fact that He fulfilled His eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. Jesus came into this world as part of that promise, but Jesus was also with God in the beginning. We find that out very clearly in John chapter 1, but it also answers what we read in Genesis 1 when God says, "Let us make man in our image." And so Christ has always been there. But again, this idea of the unchangeable character, the things that were true in the Old Testament about God and His people are true today. Jesus carried on with that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that comforting? It doesn't change. God's plan of salvation has not changed. His pattern for worship has not changed. And the rules for our everyday life have not changed. And that's really comforting. I know from time to time we will run across somebody maybe charismatic, maybe persuasive, maybe they just have an authority over us, or we're really impressed by them. And they will teach us something different from the gospel, from the New Testament, as far as these patterns God has given us. We don't have to worry about who is right and who is wrong. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That hasn't changed. And there's a comfort there, because then we don't have to wonder, well, what if an angel really did talk to this person? What if Pastor Pete is really right and the plan of salvation has changed? What if Aunt Gladys is right and I've been wrong all my life? The Word of God never changes. Now, getting back to Deuteronomy and this unchanging nature of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 3, in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, they've almost been in the wilderness for 40 years now, haven't they? 39 years and 10 months. Moses just has 1 month left of life. And then they will, after he dies, they will mourn for Moses for a month. And then after that, they'll cross the Jordan and go into the Promised Land. They're nearly there. And so in this last month, Moses gives a series of inspired lessons to the people, and he reminds them the commandments of God. And the 40th day on the first, in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. He didn't hide anything. He told them everything they needed to know. Well, now look at that factor in the New Testament under the law we're under. Acts chapter 20 and verse 25. The Apostle Paul has just about completed his ministry. He's on his way to Rome to be imprisoned, if our understanding is correctly, for the last time. He may be heading back to Jerusalem and then to Rome. I'm not sure exactly the exact route. I think he's on his way to Jerusalem right now, but he's about to go to Rome. Acts chapter 20 and verse 25. Now I know that none among you whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. The whole will of God was available to them before the Apostle Paul died. God had revealed everything they needed to know about His will. It's true that Revelation had not yet been written, and that there were some things that they could get glimpses of. But as far as God's will, as far as these patterns we've talked about, the pattern of worship and the pattern of salvation and the pattern for our daily living, those things had been proclaimed fully. And Paul said, I've given you the whole will of God. That hasn't changed. Moses began to proclaim to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded. Paul and the other apostles had proclaimed the whole will of God. That's what we have in the New Testament. We don't have to worry about there being something else. You don't have to worry about praying to God and feeling like He is nudging you in a different direction than we have within the Scriptures. That's not going to happen. You don't have to worry about God having done something tricky to keep you from missing His plan of salvation. Why would the one who loved the world so much that He allowed His Son to be forsaken, to take our sins upon us and then to die a brutal death, why would He then put something tricky within His commandments? That doesn't even make sense. One of the things that really disturbs me about modern day religion, and maybe it's just as old as the creation probably is, but this idea that somehow we don't have it all right, or that somehow God was not competent in the giving of His word, or that somehow He wasn't clear enough in the giving of His word, or somehow our minds aren't sharp enough that He put within us to figure out His word. It's not true. From the very beginning, God made it so that men would have His will, his commandments, and so that they'd be able to understand it. The question from the very beginning, whether we're talking about Adam and Eve, whether we're talking about those who lived under the law of Moses, or whether we're talking about our dispensation right now, the Christian era, we've always been given everything we need to know. And we've always had the ability to do it. The only thing that we don't have is God is not going to make us do it. God permits us to look for ourselves. For those who are willing to do that, to put the effort into it, they'll find his entire will. It was true in the beginning, it's true now. And we can be with God forever. Does it mean enough to you to do that? Because that is going to be the factor that will decide whether you're going to be saved or not. God extended his grace to everybody, and his grace is a saving grace. And yet he created hell because there were some who would reject the terms of his grace. Jesus died for everyone. His blood covered the sin of everyone who would accept the terms, and yet there's still a hell created. And it was Jesus himself that said many would take the wide path that led to destruction. The Holy Spirit's sanctifying work is available to everybody, but not everybody will accept it. The beauty about what God has done for us is he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. All we have to do is search it out and then do it. And then when we make a mistake, repent. And then we make another mistake, repent. And then when we make another and another and another, if we'll continue to repent, continue to seek his will, and continue to do it to the best of our ability, we are guaranteed we'll be with him forever. And if we don't, if we fail to meet the injunction, the command to do your best to correctly handle the Word of God, we won't make it. Are you doing your best? God is the same today as he was yesterday. Jesus is the same forever. If there is something in our lives that's not correct, it is us who need to change. If you're ready to become a Christian, we would love to help you with that. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you come forward and let your needs be known while we stand and sing?